Well, good evening to everyone. It is good to see you here. Glad that we have the opportunity that we do to be together. And I hope that our study tonight will be an encouragement to each and every person. And I want all our young people to know that if you will listen really, really well, you won't have to go to school tomorrow. So check with me afterwards and I'll let you know if you have to go or not. But we're glad that we can be together. I do hope that most of you, hopefully all of you, get to spend time tomorrow with family and friends. And I do hope that we'll take some time and think about the day that our nation has for the men and women who have served so bravely in this country. And I hope you'll let those who have served know how much you appreciate them, those that are serving, that you'll let them know, and that you'll think especially of those who have given the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy. I don't guess there's ever been a country in the history of the world that has enjoyed the freedoms that we have. I know our country is not perfect. I understand that we have our problems, but there are a lot of good things. And being able to meet here tonight the way that we are, and to worship our God the way that we choose to worship Him according to His Word, I count that as the greatest blessing of all. And I hope that's a freedom that we never see perish from this land. So just think about that a little bit tomorrow when you're having that hamburger or hot dog or watching that ball game or whatever it is you might be doing. Make sure that we give thanks for the blessings that we have in this way. Tonight, I want to share with you a lesson that I've entitled, A Heart for the Hurting. And I hope that as we study together, that we'll be able to see that God wants us to do all that we can to help one another. The Lord knows that as we go through this life, we are going to have our share of troubles, our share of difficulties. Look at a passage like this in John 16, in verse 33. Jesus has been trying to encourage his disciples, and he tells them at the close of this chapter, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He reminds his disciples that as you go through this life, you are going to have difficulties. Now, some of those difficulties come to us because we follow Christ, because we are seeking after righteousness. But some are going to come to us just because we're human beings. We live in a fallen world, and because there is sin in this world, there is going to be suffering, and there is going to be hardship and difficulties that we face. And if you're not going through something right now, you probably need to be getting ready for whatever is going to come, because sooner or later, it will. We're going to have difficulties. I've been preaching for, 33 years now. And in those times, I have seen my brethren go through some of the greatest hardships a person could ever go through. I got a call one afternoon. Brother Edwards, sitting on a fender of a tractor that his son-in-law was driving, pulling the brush hog, hit a bump. Brother Edwards fell off the fender. Those things don't stop just like this. Ran over both of his legs. Took one of them. They were able to save the other. How your life can be changed in just one afternoon like that. First funeral I ever went to, I preached. I hadn't been preaching 6 months. And a widow had lost her third and final son. All of them died before the age of 40. And there she was with no one. Several years ago, I was getting ready on New Year's Day, and you know what guys do on New Year's Day. I mean, we eat, but you watch football. And I was getting ready to watch some of the football games, and I get a phone call. That night, one of our members and four of her children perished in a fire. Happy New Year. I'm telling you, folks, we're just a phone call away or a doctor's visit away, this test or that test, from tragedy striking our homes, coming to each of us. We're going to have troubles and difficulties as we go through this life. And I am glad that we have each other, that we have the church, and more importantly, we have the Lord to lean upon. And so I want to talk tonight about developing a heart for the hurting, because as Christians, we need to really care. Now, here's what we're going to look at. We're going to notice, first of all, the motivation. Why should we be doing this? Number two, we're going to look at the model, an example of how to respond to the hurting. And then finally, we're going to see the method. How do we put this into practice? So let's start first of all with the motivation. Why is it that I need to care for the hurting? Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, because it's a commandment from God. God wants us to care for one another. You remember so many years ago, Cain, after he killed his brother, and God is speaking to him, really giving him an opportunity to confess and to repent. He asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? Well, folks, what's the answer to that question? It's yes, isn't it? Everybody go like this. Sure it is. It's yes. We have a responsibility toward one another. Look at this passage in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I know that passage goes on to explain that there is a sense in which everyone bears their own burdens. But here we're reminded that we have a responsibility. In fact, it is the law of Christ that we help each other bear our burdens. And so we're commanded to have this kind of care. We looked at this passage this morning, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You be kind. You be tender-hearted toward your fellow man, toward your brother or sister in Christ. We're commanded to care. And then there is this sense in which we show ourselves to be God-like when we care for those who are hurting. Look at what the scriptures tell us about God. Matthew 5 and verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, Jesus would say, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's just after Jesus had said, you've heard it said. It's not what the Bible says, but you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. The Lord never told us to do that. Instead, he said, you do good to your enemy. You bless those who curse you. You pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Because your Father, he makes his sun shine to shine on the good and the evil. He allows the just and the unjust to enjoy the blessings of the rain. You be like him. You be good to one another. And when we show that we have a heart for the hurting, we show ourselves to be more godlike than at any other time. In 2 Corinthians 1 in verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul is going to write, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." He is the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts. And when we show that we care for those who are hurting, when we give comfort, we show ourselves to be like God. And so we have our motivation. We have a commandment, and we strive to become like Him, to follow His good example. Now, here's the model. And a model is just an example. Where would we find an example of how to respond to those who are hurting? Well, we have that in our God. God is our example of how to have a heart for the hurting. And there are really three things to keep in mind when you think about how God shows that He cares. He does it by His presence, by His words, and by His deeds. Now, I hope you'll remember those things because we're going to come back around to them. But let's talk about those for a moment. God shows He cares, first of all, by His presence, by being with us. Isn't it a comfort to know that no matter what you're going through, God will never leave you? That's His promise, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I know there are times when we feel all alone. But even when we feel that way, we're really not. Because God has promised, "I will always be with you." Look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. Paul writes these things from his second imprisonment in Rome. He is going to lay down his life shortly. And he writes, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul said, "Man can look at me and think nobody is with him." Paul says, "I know better. The Lord is always with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He is our rock, our strength, our refuge, our comfort. And He has promised, "I'll be with you." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you see more about this promise. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I want you to notice something here. This passage does not say everything is good. I think a lot of times people think that. For the child of God, everything is good. So when something bad happens, I'm supposed to see this as something good. No, folks, there are some bad things that can happen to us as we go through this life. But what He promises is, "I will bless you. I will bless you through whatever you're going through. And I will bless you beyond what you're going through." And so God can see that ultimate good that can come through the suffering that we endure. Man has this idea that all suffering is just terrible. And I know that nobody wants to go through suffering. I understand that. But there are some benefits to going through suffering. We can be made stronger through our suffering. We can be better equipped to help someone else who is suffering. There can be some good things that come from it. And so we're reminded God is going to be with us. By His presence, He shows He cares. Now, here's the next thing. He shows that He cares by His words. Look at some of the promises that God has given to us. Over in, we'll look at this one. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's a precious promise of a resurrection. That gives us hope. And so with his words, there is encouragement and there is help for you and for me. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What a precious promise to know that those who die in the Lord, their death is seen as something different by our God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I always tell people when I read this passage that it's important to understand that before you can die in the Lord, you have to live in the Lord. But once we're in Christ and we live for Him, when it comes time for us to leave this world, what a precious promise God gives unto us. And so not only by His presence, but by His words, He shows how He cares. And then by His deeds, by what He does for you and for me, He shows that He cares. We'll notice this primarily in the answer that He gives unto our prayers. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. For those of us who are the children of God, we have this wonderful promise. God hears my prayers. And when I say hear, I mean He understands them. He will answer them. He may not always answer it the way that we want, but He will answer our prayers. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Does great things. Prayer will accomplish great things. God answering our prayers through His deeds, He demonstrates His great care for you and for me. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is going to pray for this thorn in the flesh, whatever it might have been, to be removed. And the Lord is going to tell him, no. He prayed 3 times. But God says, no, not going to remove it. But instead, He's going to let him know, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so Paul is going to say, if that's the case, if through my weakness the strength of the Lord can be demonstrated, then that's wonderful. And in my weakness, I will keep serving the Lord. Now, many people might look at that and say, Paul's prayer wasn't answered. That's not the case. It was answered. The Lord, with His wisdom, simply said, no, but I've got something else for you. Our God can answer our prayers by saying yes to them. He can say no to them. And He can say, well, something we don't really like to hear, and that is wait. We don't like wait, but sometimes we have to. Or He can say, I've got something better for you. He in his wisdom is going to give to us those things that are for our good. But think with me about how God shows that he cares. It's by his presence. He's promised to be with us. By his words, the promises that he has given. And then by his deeds, his answers to our prayers. Well, let's think then about how we show we care. And that's going to be the method. That's what we're going to put into practice now. We've got our example. That's our God. We see how he did it. Now, we can emulate him. And by our presence, and by our words, and by our deeds, we can let people know that we care. And develop a heart for the hurting. First of all, by our presence. In Job chapter 2 and verse 13, we read about the friends of Job coming to visit him. The Bible says, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. I don't know exactly how far they came. But we remember what Job was going through. He had lost all his wealth, and he had lost all his children. And then he lost his health. You couldn't get in much more of a pitiful situation than Job found himself in. In fact, when these friends got there, they don't even recognize him. And then they sit down for those 7 days. That's a long time. Long time to sit there and not say anything. But evidently that was a custom back then. But I want you to know something. They were there. They showed up. And by their presence, they were saying, we care. I also let you know, that was the best comfort that they gave to him. Later, he's going to write about them and say, you are miserable comforters. When they started talking, it didn't help him much. But they showed they care. And when you show up, when someone is going through hardship and difficulty, you know, a lot of times the easiest thing, just stay away. Because it gets messy sometimes. And so people are fearful and they tend to stay away. But the Lord wants us to show that we care by our presence. Folks, when it comes to suffering, there is an aloneness to it. There just always is going to be. Even if you're there, you're not the one going through this difficult. You're not the one feeling what I'm feeling. And so there's always an aloneness. But by your presence, you're saying something very important to that loved one, to that brother or sister in Christ, to that neighbor. You're saying, I care. In John chapter 11 and verse 19, Lazarus has passed away. The Bible says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. We do kind of the same thing, don't we? When we go to the funeral home to comfort, when we make a visit, try to encourage. And just by our presence, there's something very important being demonstrated. God shows that he cares by his presence. We can show we care by our presence. Number two, just like God shows that he cares by his words, we show that we care by our words. Now, I know what people always say. When it comes to visiting someone who's going through some difficulty or some hardship, we say, I just don't know what to say. I'm not good at that. How do you know just what to say? Preacher, can you teach a class on what you're supposed to say in this moment or that moment? Or I tell you what, they don't have a class for that for preachers. They don't have it for anyone. Because there are a lot of times when you don't know what to say. But can't you always say things like this? Can't you always say, I'm praying for you? You know, I try and say that a lot to folks, and I have yet to have anyone say to me, don't pray for me. I don't want that. Don't do that. No, that. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I'll go to the hospital and I'll visit a brother or sister in Christ, and I try to have a word of prayer before I leave. Every now and then, the person in the bed beside them will say, would you pray for me too? People like knowing you're praying for them. And they're going through difficulty and hardship. If you know someone who's outside of Christ, you're trying to win, let them know you're in my prayers. I'm praying for you. We can always say that. And can't you always say, I love you? I love you. I'll be real honest with you, folks. I had, for a long time, a big problem with that. I could not say I love you, especially to another guy. I could punch you in the shoulder, and I could say, you know, my dad doesn't say that very often. I mean, he says it to mom, but he doesn't say it to me. Love, he's gotten better, but she's made him do it, you know. But you know, you just don't, you guys don't do that. But as I've gotten older, maybe I've just gotten smarter or realized how important that is. And brothers, we could tell each other, I love you. Thinking of you, praying for you. Need to hear that. That never gets old. And even if you don't know what to say, you can say some of these things. Now, I will caution you. There are some things you shouldn't say. You go to the hospital, visit someone, and they tell you what they have. You don't say, you know what, my uncle had that. He was dead 2 weeks. But people do that kind of thing. I'm not making that up. They say things like that. You know, watch what you say. And that's a little humorous. Think about this. And people say it with good intention. They say things like, well, it was just God's will. How do you know that? How do you know that was God's will? And you tell that to a mother who has just had to bury an infant child. That's God's will? Why would God do that to me then, if that's God's will? We don't know this side of eternity what God's will is, apart from His Word. You got to remember, folks, the devil is at work. You think about what happened to Job. He wondered what God was doing. Who was the one doing it to him? It wasn't God. It was the devil. Don't you know the devil must love when people blame God for the bad that happens in the world and he goes away scot-free? Just be careful. What you say, saying something is God's will? We don't know always. We're not privy to that here upon this earth. So while we can comfort with our words, we also want to be careful about what we say. But there are those good things that we can always say. And by our words, we can show that we care. And then there is, again, following the example of our God, by our deeds, we can show that we care. You look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, and what you see is John writing and saying, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's put our words into action. Let's not be people who just talk about it, but let's back it up with our deeds. And I know that there are so many times when we're helpless, when there's just not anything that we can do necessarily to alleviate the hardship or the suffering. I think that's why a lot of times at funerals, we bring so much food. It's something we can do. And food's, you know, that's pretty a welcome thing. And those kinds of things that during those hours we're not thinking about or can't take time to do, those are the kinds of deeds that we can help with. You know what? I can't do a lot, but I can watch your kids. How about I watch your kids and you can go to the hospital and spend some time with your mom or with your dad or whoever it may be. I could do that. Or, you know, I know you haven't been home much this last month. You've been in the hospital or the care center. And how about I just come and clean your house? And you don't have to worry about me, telling anyone about, you know, where you put this or that. I'm not going to take any pictures. This won't be on Facebook. And I'll just clean and you don't have to worry about it. Or let me do your laundry. I can do that. I can help. Or you know what? You've had to run up to Cleveland Clinic for the last month. Your husband's been having this transplant or going to it. And I can't do much, but here's a gas card. I hope it helps. You know, just little things. Those cards, I know already how good you are at sending cards. You probably will never know how much those mean to people until you're the one that's receiving them. And to know that someone's thinking about you. But there are just things that we can do that say to people, we care. Not just in word, but in our deeds. And that's the example that God has set for us. He shows that He cares by His presence, by His words, by His deeds. And folks, we show that we care. We have a heart for the hurting by our presence and by our words and by our deeds. I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's still true. People don't really care about what we know until they know how much we care. And that's why God wants us to have a heart for the hurting. And if you're hurting right now, I want you to know that you're in the right place because you're in a room of people that care. They may not know all you're going through, but they care. And they want to help and they want to encourage because part of being a Christian is caring for one another. And the greatest concern of all that we have is for your soul. And so tonight, if you're here and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you have, but you've fallen away and you need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. Or it might be the case that you're going through some things right now that are pretty difficult, pretty heavy, and you'd like the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ on your behalf. We'd be happy to do that. And so tonight, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ in any way, we encourage you to come as we